first voice and my first advent this month, and I know we heard it this morning as well. Where our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and you can remain seated as we read our text. Again, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And if you are there, wait for you to get there. This is our reads. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, some of your verses may say being a righteous man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had it in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. And verse 25, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. Pray that you would impress your word, Father, on the hearts of your people this morning. In Jesus' Christ's name we pray. Amen. The LGBTQ gay rights homosexual movement has convinced our public schools to introduce monks to advance their immoral and unbiblical agenda. Listen to some of the titles of their books. Mommy, Mama, and Me. Or Heather Has Two Moms. Some of you have heard of it. Of course, not this one. My Mom's Truly Love Me. These books have two people of the same sex and a husband and wife like relationship raising children. These books attempt to make the children of these relationships than any child who reads the books feel okay or comfortable being raised by two homosexuals who say they're married. Never thought I'd ever see the day, but here it is. And for our younger new lifers in here, listen to Brother Rodney. It is not okay for him to have two moms in the same house, or two daddies in the same house. Mommy or mom's going to get this. It's not okay for mommy and daddy to be in the same house if they're not married. But anyway, that's what's going on. And they're not married. Not sure the growing part of his life, Jesus had to navigate the same course between two fathers, and not for the same reason that these books write about. As a 12-year-old child, I heard this morning while returning back from the Passover festival, a 12-year-old Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Sister, you mentioned it this morning. You know, you said that they left Jesus behind. But anyway, they left Jesus behind, and Mary and Joseph were unaware. They searched for 3 long days. A 12-year-old Jesus had found him in the temple, asking the annoying questions. Now, finding Jesus after 3 days, his mother said, why have you treated us like this? My mom was sitting right there on the side note. I know if she found me after 2 days, it would be the questions. Maybe I'll be now. Then Mary said this, your father Joseph and I, listen, she said, your father Joseph and I have sought you, been looking for you, anxious. To which Jesus replied, why were you searching for me? Don't you know, mother, that I must be about my father's business? Jesus knew his priorities, church, even at the age of 12. Jesus has always been the only begotten son of the God, our heavenly father. But our story centers on the events, just like this, leading up to Joseph accepting his role as Jesus' earthly father. Now this morning, I want us to go back into the story of Joseph. I want you men, I want you to be this man in love and about to be married to this woman. For you women, I want you to be this woman in love with this
was super righteous, handsome man, a lecturer, Joseph Tanton, just embellishing a story like that. Because why would you love with this man named Joseph and then find out that you could? Matter of fact, anyone have you ever been in love? Okay, this is not a say yes. If you have, you can stop chasing and then smile. You can relate to what Mary and Joseph were feeling and going through. But in our text, we're looking at Joseph as he accepts his role as an earthly father to our Lord and Savior, who is the eternal Son of God. One son, two fathers. Now our story begins as a familiar story. Mary, the young lady, is engaged to a man named Joseph. And this begins for those taking notes. Joseph's circumstances. That's your first point there, verse 18, Joseph's circumstances. Listen to what the Word of God says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So let's stop right there. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So far, so good. Then Mary was found to be pregnant with child. Again, nothing out of the ordinary. Things happen. Now, Mary is pregnant, but this is probably one of the most significant buts in history. Mary is a virgin. Now, we don't discover that until the prophecy found in verse 23 of our text. Well, we have to jump over to Luke, chapter 2, verse 34. Here, Mary herself asked, how can this be, seeing that I do not know a man? How can this be, since I'm a virgin? What the Bible means by that is Mary had not had sex with a man. Now we have to remember that this was before scientists discovered ways to produce a baby by taking an egg from a woman and a seed from a man. Many women already have gotten pregnant without being with a man. We call it what? Artificial insemination. It happens every day in the animal world and in the kingdom. My son deals with dogs and talks about the whole time. They just will take then one dog and they'll just basically produce other dogs. Okay. But in both worlds, we read this pregnancy requires seed from a male and an egg from a female. Scientists still have not been able to duplicate that requirement. But listen, but in Joseph and Mary's day, two people had to hook up whatever you need. For our youngsters, it required a mommy and a daddy to produce a baby. And Mary did not have a baby daddy for her life. Now Mary is pregnant, but she had not hooked up with a man, and as it concerns Joseph, she had not hooked up with Joseph. Now, at this point, Joseph already knows that the woman he loves is pregnant. He knows nothing yet about the Holy Spirit causing Mary to become pregnant. We know because of love, we're looking back. But for Joseph, the story is being written, just like many of our stories. Those are Joseph's circumstances. In his mind, Mary, his fiance, is pregnant. There's no rhyme I can explain. This leads to those taking notes to Joseph's consideration in verse 19 and in verse 19. Joseph's consideration. I'll let you fill that in, then I'm going to read here. Just know what it says. Because Joseph, your husband, was faithful to the law, some of your verses may say he was a righteous man, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, being a just or righteous man and not willing to, as we would say, put her on last, Brother Bill, he decided to just divorce Mary instead of the other option. There was a writer named J.A. McDonald who stated that true righteousness is mercy. And that's what we see in Joseph, mercy towards Mary. You know, I've often heard it said, and we hear people say that, you know, Joseph could have had Mary put to death. He could have took her out and had her stoned. Really? Could he, or was this actually a possibility for Mary? Now, church, let's remember that Mary is already pregnant by the Holy Spirit at this time. The baby is growing in her womb. Question. Do we think God is going to allow a man, Joseph, to destroy his plan of salvation? More specifically, his only begotten son was already growing inside of Mary. The incarnation had already taken place. Conception had already taken place. I'm not sure if they had the EBT. The wand would have been whatever color it turns when you become pregnant. Mary was pregnant. So is the father going to let Joseph destroy his plan of salvation? I don't believe so. There's a power point. No man is going to
salvation as it concerns you and as it concerns me.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when God has started in you, He will finish in you. Now, in Matthew chapter 2 verse 6, my friend is right next door to where we are right now in chapter 2. These magi, they were outwitted, tricked by, Herod was tricked. He was outwitted by these magi. And look, Herod's a young man. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start killing all the boys from 2 years old and under. He was trying to capture Jesus. But he wasn't able to touch Jesus because God had a plan of salvation to accomplish.
Amen.
In Luke 4:29, an angry mob took the brought up Jesus to a cliff. Says it's not going to throw over the edge, but the Bible says Jesus walked right through them. Why? Because God had a plan of salvation to accomplish. Or as Jesus tells us, my time had not yet come. So just as God stopped everyone who tried to stop His plan of salvation from being accomplished, I don't mean the Father spoke about to let Joseph stop His plan of having Mary bring forth this child with three numbers. Why? Because His time had not yet come. Honestly, I don't personally know of any man saved or unsaved who has taken this death option, right? Most men I know, Brother Elijah would have just said, you know, I'll just let her go. I love TKO. You know, I just move on. That's what most men I know would have done. They would have just been decent about the situation, okay? Now, we're looking at Joseph's considerations. How could this righteous man, Joseph, walk through Sister Karen with marrying this adulterer, this cheater Mary? How would marrying her allow him to fulfill God's plans and expectations for him? How would he explain this to his family? Some of us have been here. Some biblical scholars say that at this time, it's like this. Many young Jewish couples were living in expectation that they would be the couple to bring forth the Messiah. This makes sense to me because back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we know the story. We have a promise after the fall. Our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, they caused all of creation to be affected by sin, death, decay, corruption, pain, all those effects of sin. The Lord told the devil because of the part that he played in the fall, the Lord would put animosity between him, the devil, and the woman, Eve's offspring. And the Lord said to the devil in Genesis 3:15, He, the woman's offspring, referring to Jesus, will crush your the devil's hand. And the devil will strike against Jesus' heel. So it looks like the devil will get the worst of the deal with them. A hand crushing versus a heel strike. Anyway, this was the promise that the Lord had made after the fall of Genesis. Now we fast forward thousands of years later, during the time of King David. The Lord promised David that someone from his seed, one of his own descendants, some of us know the story, will be raised up and would have a dynasty, a kingdom, that would last forever on earth. Now let me pause here and say that if you do not know either of those stories, I pray that you're starting to put the dots, connect the dots together. We have this promise back in Genesis 3 about the woman's seed crushing the devil's head. Then later on in 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have the promise to King David that somebody from your seed, or someone from your loins rather, is going to be sitting on the throne of David. Scholars say at this time and throughout history, many young Jewish couples were hoping they would be the parents of this seed or this offspring who would crush the devil's head. And this may explain to some of us why so many Jewish women during that time were so disgruntled, why they were so upset when they could have children. We think of Hannah. We think of Sarah. They were looking forward to bringing forth maybe the Messiah, so they were upset when they couldn't have children. The gospel according to Luke tells us that an old prophet is named Hannah. And an old man named Samuel, both living in expectation and desire. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Samuel in 26 that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Expectation. After his birth, wise men began to ride over and come from the east, saying, We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now these wise men from the east church had apparently done some research about the stars, and they had an expectation about a certain star which led them where? To Jerusalem and to the Savior, all because of expectation.
Yes.
You know, we sing at Christmas, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Or are they? Or are we expecting something else? So there was this expectation of the Messiah, the promised Redeemer, who would redeem Israel from all of their troubles as they I'm a boxing fan. For those who know me, there was a boxer during the Mike Tyson era named James Bone Crusher Smith. They say when you get your magic form, your bones will crush. But anyway, the children of Israel were looking forward to the devil's bone crusher. Now we should encourage one another. They're expecting and looking for Jesus. Second coming, that the devil's bone crusher, Jesus said, he is coming again. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So we have this expectation, church, among Jewish couples at this time. But listen, in the midst of all of that expectation, Joseph was not expecting for the woman he loved, who was about to marry, to be done pregnant by another man. Verse 25. This led to some considerations by Joseph. He was considering putting Mary away private. Maybe, just maybe, Joseph considered if I marry her, Mary, after she has gotten pregnant by another man, then what would that do to my own hopes of becoming the promised Messiah's father, if that was his desire? We know Deuteronomy chapter 23:2 states, a master or a illegitimate child should not enter the congregation of the Lord even to the 10th generation. Now may I say that we are all illegitimate because of sin? And I suspect Joseph knew his Bible and probably this verse. Joseph, being a just or righteous man, finally concluded he would just divorce Mary quietly, just divorce her on the down low. But while he considered these things, the Message Bible says while he was trying to figure a way out, Joseph received a call. If you're taking notes, this is Joseph's call. Now I'm pausing here just to kind of jump in more. I'm going to read this verse first here, right here, 28. Isn't that what it says? Joseph's call. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It said, Joseph, son of David. Now I'm pausing here and interjecting more. That this was a description of what happened in Joseph's life. Not a description of God, of how God talks to us, but Moses wrote to us today. A Bible scholar named Howard Barr stated, listen at this, dreams are wild and regular moments of a mind when it is unshackled by reason. You may have your family wake you up and say, you won't believe the dream I had last night. Thank God we don't have our dreams right, video, set part one of the video screen that we had this week. That'd be pretty epic for most of us. That'd be an embarrassment. So we don't want to take or put too much stock in dreams. They're just things that are regular moments of the mind. The angel calls Joseph and reminds Joseph where he comes from. Now for those who know your Bible, this part where Joseph is in the royal bloodline from King David in the genealogy. Now earlier we mentioned the promise made to King David that God would set one of David's descendants on the throne of Israel one day forever. Now, during Joseph's time, Israel had been without a king, a Jewish king, for hundreds of years. I just heard Pastor Ken mention during his prayer, he mentioned about Josiah and all these others. Israel's last king was King Zedekiah. Remember, he was the son of Josiah. At the time of our story, the Jewish nation of Israel was under the control of the Roman government, and their Caesars were kings. But even though they did not have one of their own as king, there was an expectation based on the word of God, that the Lord would restore their kingdom back to them one day. We remember the disciples' question following his resurrection, Lord, would you at this time do what? Restore the kingdom back to Israel. They were ready to rise again. Someone may be wondering, Brother Ronnie, why don't you give us a history lesson on King David? What does it have to do with our story about Mary being pregnant and her man? Now, Joseph, I'm thinking that Mary's pregnant by another man. Now remember, we are in the story, right? And the angel just woke up. So let's see. He said, Joseph, son of David, and he receives this call, and in this call he is given a divine, what I call a divine prescription. He is told to fear not. Now Joseph was afraid, and we just looked at some of the considerations and possible reasons behind Joseph's fears. Joseph, son of David, is given a challenge, and this brings us to Joseph's challenge, if you're taking notes. Joseph's challenge. For those who have been following the story, they repeat, we have seen Joseph's circumstances in verse 18, Joseph's consideration in verse 19, Joseph's call in verse 28, and now Joseph's challenge in verse 20b through 21. This is what it says. Beginning in verse 20, the big The angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph is challenged, number one, to not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Number two, he's challenged to believe that Mary is pregnant because of the Holy Spirit. Number three, he's challenged, it's right down in verse, to give the baby the name Jesus. And lastly, Joseph is challenged to believe that this child, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. Now, quite a bit to overcome, naturally speaking, that is Joseph's challenge. I may say, quoting our own pastor, Jeremy Ruffin, from several years ago, Joseph is only given enough information to make a faith response. But he's given enough information. The question is, what would Joseph's response be? Would Joseph take Mary home as his wife, pregnant and all? Would Joseph accept Mary's unborn baby as his own son, and as Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior from sin? So here's Joseph presented with this challenge from the angel. Joseph is putting this church in the unique position to ensure that this child that Mary has conceived gets rightfully inserted into the royal line of King David by adopting him and giving him a name. Joseph is put in this unique position to be a part of God's promise to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, being filled. That's why we mention those verses. Because listen, in order to get into the royal bloodline, you either had to have one of two things. You either had to have blood, or you had to have a legal adoption. We say that again, in order to get into the royal bloodline, you either had to have blood, or you had to have a legal adoption. Okay? So, would Joseph allow Jesus' name to follow his name in David's family tree? I know some men, being the proud preachers that we are, run around, we're just had the attitude, you know, it's going to be my own flesh and blood. That's right. Remember Abraham, he thought that Eliezer was going to be his heir. Abraham was disturbed. He said, Lord, the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham was distraught that it wasn't going to be somebody from his own loins. But listen, when by rejecting Mary, Joseph is also rejecting Emmanuel, God with us, the one to save from sins. I don't know what I tend to believe, but had Joseph not accepted Jesus as his own son, God would have got Jesus in David's mind, the world not mine through another means. Because listen, God doesn't need people to accomplish his will. He just wants to see if you're available to do it. Joseph just missed out on being a part of the plan like Israel, the Jews of Jesus' day. Remember, the children of Israel thought this. They said, you know what? If it don't get done through us, then it won't get done. The children of Israel thought that, hey, we are the only means for God to be known to the world. So they thought, well, as they say in the world, they fooled around and found out God was going to get it done, and he got it done another way. This church that God created composed of both believing Jews and, to their disbelief, non-Jews or Gentiles, would spread the message of God's salvation from sin and eternal death in him. Meanwhile, the Jews who rejected Jesus would themselves be rejected into their unbelief. Here these Gentiles are embracing the message. So church, here's where Joseph is now. He's put in this position where his only two options are to believe or not to believe. Now, may I say that that is still the question for you and me today, to believe or not to believe. Now, Joseph's rejection of Mary, but more specifically her baby, would also mean God's rejection of Joseph. Because in order for the government to be on Jesus' shoulders, Jesus had to be in the royal line of David. That is where Joseph comes. But in order for him, Jesus to save from sins, Jesus had to be divine. And that is where God comes. That is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Well, my NIV Bible tours titles rather our portion of scripture, Jesus, or Joseph rather, accepts Jesus as his own son. Now this brings us to our second and last point, Joseph's compliance. If you're taking notes, Joseph's compliance. Let's read what it says in verse 24 of this letter. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So Joseph gets this news from this angel. And I'm sure it's a good news. Joseph, she didn't cheat him. He didn't have to call a man. You know, they have a cheater's man running around. He didn't have to go. go. Say if there was anything going on with Parachute and Gino.
Thank you, Joseph.
Now imagine the joy of this man knowing that his worst fears about his mind
were not true.
How would you have felt, husband, knowing that the truth about the purity of your wife who loved you? And how would you have felt, wife, knowing that the man you loved, Joseph, was with you, believed you, and was accepting of you and the baby growing inside of your womb? Now it is not just Mary whom Joseph is accepting. He is also accepting the unborn child. As a soul. But notice Joseph did not wait to believe that this child in Mary's womb, Jesus, was Emmanuel, God with us who came to save us from our sins. Joseph woke up and did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do.
Amen.
Question. Did Jesus have to perform some miracles later on as a child to be accepted by Joseph? Did Jesus have to grow Joseph's carpenter business because remember, Joseph was a carpenter? Did he have to increase his financial portfolio in order for Joseph to accept him as his son? Did Jesus have to prove that he wasn't a good child, that he was worthy of being called Joseph's son in order for Joseph to accept him as his son? Pastor Kenneth said no. But Joseph accepted the word from the angel right when it was spoken, while the baby was still growing in the womb of Mary. Now the child Jesus didn't have to grow up on himself only to be accepted by Joseph, although he was already moved. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. What does it say about Joseph? But more importantly, what does it say about you and me and our acceptance of Jesus Christ? Does Jesus need to prove himself before he gets our full acceptance and trust? Joseph accepted Jesus as his own, and lo and behold, we find Jesus, the Son of God, Mary's baby, following Joseph in the royal line of King David in the biblical record. Look with me at Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Turn over to Luke chapter 3, verse 22. In the context of Jesus' baptism, listen to what it says. Matter of fact, let's start in verse 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven.
Listen to this.
You are my son, in whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Verse 23. Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought of Joseph. Notice that. Now we won't read all the names, but I want us to see where it ends. Turn them down to verse 38. So it's not going to read those names, but I'll pass. I'm going to spare us. Look at verse 38. The son we started with Joseph. Verse 38. Like where we are, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Understand that? I want to see where he has with Joseph, church. More importantly than Joseph being in the line of David, Joseph in the line of the sons of God. You all see that? A voice from heaven, that's the Father, in the public opinion of Joseph. Two fathers, one son. Through the earthly father, Joseph, Jesus obtained the right to reign on earth as the son of David. Through the heavenly father, Jesus obtained the right to reign over sin and death. Two fathers, one son. Well, we're at the end of the story, but it's not over. Mary is expecting. What happens next? Look at verse 25. We're going to get back there. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 25. Now, love this, listen. But he, Matthew 1:25, Joseph, did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph waited, church, to consummate their marriage. He didn't wait to believe that Jesus was the Savior. Question, what would cause a man to wait to be with his wife? We all know the story of David and Bathsheba. Remember they called Uriah home. David said, "Yeah, go home, son. You've been on the battlefield for a long time. Go home and show your wife what you know what that means." They told Uriah going home, Uriah, be with your wife. Uriah says, "No, I'm going to stay here." Well, my question is, what would cause a man to wait to be with his wife? They are married. The man is undefiled now. Maybe Joseph saw Mary's womb as a holy of holies, sister God. And he dare not enter to taint this sacred place inside Mary's womb, but the Holy Spirit had begun a good work. Johnson Way, just to share. What a picture of the expectant believer, waiting in hope and anticipation. The child was born and Joseph gave him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now the only other thing we know about Jesus' relationship with Joseph is recorded for us in Luke 2. After Mary and Joseph found Jesus after 3 days, it states in Luke 2:51 that he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, Mary and Joseph, and was obedient to them, both Mary and Joseph. But the most important obedience of Jesus was the obedience we see at the cross. He was obedient to death, even death on the cross. We stated that there is nothing that is going to stop God from fulfilling his plan of salvation in your life or mine. What we see in Joseph Church, the Son of God, according to the genealogy, is one who believed what was spoken by the angel. Because if Jesus was just the Son of Mary and a man who believed Joseph, well, then we are without hope. We're wasting our time, and I'm wasting my time talking to you. But Joseph believed that this child was Emmanuel, God with us, and the one who was able to save his people from their sins. Now, believing led Joseph to accept Jesus as his own son, to become Jesus' earthly father. But more than that, Joseph accepted Jesus as the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father and the Savior from sin. One son, two fathers. Question. Have you accepted or believed in Jesus? If you haven't one time, we should continue to believe. Because he's still the Almighty God. As Pastor Ken says, he's the wonderful counselor. I'm sorry, he's the wonderful counselor. Almighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Ken said, you got a super wonderful counselor. But have you accepted or believed in Jesus at one time? If you have, continue to believe and pray for him this morning. Now, if you are unsure about Jesus, come see Pastor. Or Pastor Ken, rather, come see me. Talk to Sister Fawzi, Lady Fawzi. She gave up. She spoke to the ladies the other week. So talk to Sister Fawzi. If you're unsure about Jesus, don't know who he is. Come talk to someone who can tell you more about him, okay? So that you can tell about this one who died to save us from our sins. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, those of us who have believed in you one time, we pray, God, that you would continue, Lord, to enable us to believe. While we believe, because you have given us the faith to believe. We pray, God, that no circumstance would diminish our faith in you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would help us to live as right in this dark world, that we would be a testimony to goodness. Lord, like Joseph, help us, Lord, to accept what is spoken by you before we look for things to suggest that you have to prove yourself to us. Lord, because the greatest proof of you being all that we need is Calvary, Lord. Because our greatest need was salvation. You took care of that, Lord, at Calvary, and Lord, will you do anything less? As it says in the Bible, no, because if he who gave us all things, how will you not freely give up all things? And Lord, we thank you for that divine reality and promise. And Lord, we pray right now that as you prepare to dismiss your people from this place, you will be with us and go with us, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.